welcome is Brother Eric John Phelps with you today with Biblical Truth in History and Prophecy on this beautiful 29th of May, 2008. I have my friend and dear brother Daryl Everhart calling in today, having given you the number there, Sean at Farley, so looking forward to his call. Before we begin, we thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day, for this beautiful day, and pray that what is done would be edifying to thee and thy Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. A particular verse, and we'll get right to our interview. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. And I'm thinking of Mr. McFarland, who came out yesterday and evidently he's come out with a book and told of all the terrible things that have happened in the Bush administration that he knows of and that he was even a part of. So we have to be thankful that this gentleman came out and said this, and maybe others would do the same, that men would begin to do righteousness and in government and in their private life. So if a ruler doesn't hearken to lies, then his servants will do right. It's very simple. It's black or white. Well, today I have with me Daryl Everhart, and we're going to discuss one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln, and how when he sought to prevent the creation of 14th Amendment America, the Jesuits assassinated him. So, Daryl, welcome today.
And I'm so glad to be on with you again, Eric. It's an honor and a privilege. And as I said before, I consider you the resident expert on the Jesuit order. You're the one that got me started when I got a hold of your book that was published in 2001, Vatican Assassins. And I'd like to let the listeners know to please, sometime during the first break, to grab a pencil or pen and some paper, because I'd like to tell you how not only to get Eric's CD-ROM, which it's very important that you get, but also I have three books here that I'd like to recommend. It won't take very long to do because one's just a phone number, one's just a website, the other one I'll have to give an address on. But it's important, Eric, that we all get up to snuff on history, and as I mentioned before when I was on with you, sadly, we Americans, for the most part, are way behind the eight ball on history, not just European history, ancient history, church history, but even in American history, because these, what I call erasers, master erasers of history, the Jesuits, have taken a lot of important history out of our history textbooks and out of our encyclopedias. And I'd like to let Roman Catholic listeners know, please hang with us. Neither of us hates individual Roman Catholics, and I'd just like to let them know again, in case we have some new listeners, that my dad's Roman Catholic, 90% of my relatives are Roman Catholic. Decades ago, I married a wonderful and beautiful Roman Catholic lady. 90% of my friends are Roman Catholic. So if anyone thinks I hate individual Roman Catholics, that's a real stretch of anything there, because then I'd end up hating my dad, which I don't. So I just want you Roman Catholics to please hang with us, because we're going to be talking about the Jesuit order. They had their fingerprints all over the assassination of Lincoln and helping even one of the arch-conspirators to escape up to Canada, and then he went later to England and even became a member of the Pope's bodyguard. So please do hang with us on that. Eric, I'm glad you brought up an Old Testament verse. A lot of Christians I've met have told me, oh, you don't need to study the Old Testament, we're just New Testament, and all we're here on earth for is to win souls. I'd like to let people know that it's important to read the entire Bible, and of course the King James is the only one in English right now that's easily affordable and readily available, that does use the correct Hebrew Masoretic for the Old Testament and uses the Textus Receptus for the Greek, that is the basis for the New Testament. All the newer versions are based on between 2 to 5 corrupt, very corrupt manuscripts, and it's been probably a major effort on the part of the Roman Catholic Church to bring this about, and you'll find out there are definite connections. Rupert Murdoch recently received papal knighthood. I know I'm diverting a little bit here, Eric, but it's important for folks to know that it is critical to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, read both the Old and New Testament, and I think when folks do that, they'll find that there's lots of verses in there, Eric, that tell us we're to be exposing evil, we're to be fighting evil, we're not just to sit back in pews as many independent Baptist fundamental churches unfortunately teach in this country with a bunker mentality, Christian mentality of we're just to sit here and not do anything, not get involved in politics. And certainly that was one of the Jesuits' primary objectives in America, was to get their people, Knights of Columbus especially, involved in law enforcement, in the political process, and they do control the political process, as you well know, Eric, in most major cities, especially the East and even Chicago, places like that, where I think we mentioned on the previous time I was with you that if you don't get the blessing of the Knights of Columbus, you can't even run for dog catcher in a lot of these big cities, and even in some parts of Pennsylvania here, Eric, where Roman Catholicism is extremely strong, and I know that a lot of the Knights of Columbus are told to get into law enforcement. So that's something that we all need to be concerned about, and I just wanted to get that out. I'd also like to read that quote by John Kennedy again, because secret societies really do run things from behind the scenes, and at the top of that secret society pyramid is the Jesuit order. But here's what a Roman Catholic president said, John Kennedy, and I think it's important that the people hear this. The very word, and I'm quoting John Kennedy while he was president, he made this to the press club, this speech. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. I think that's a pretty good quote. And by our own senator, a former senator, I don't even like to claim him, but Rick Santorum, who I believe is a Knight of Malta, made the interesting statement that the current president, George Bush Jr., is more Catholic than John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and I think that's probably a good assessment on his part. I'd just like to briefly read here a little introduction I wrote about history. And
let me add one thing, brother.
Yeah.
Anthony Hilder has come out with a CD called Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection. It's a DVD, pardon me. Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection by Anthony Hilder. And in that, he has a tremendous video clip where George Bush, President Bush, is at the Washington prayer breakfast that's given by the Catholic leaders in Washington. And there the moderator said that, oh, George Bush, just God bless that man. He is our second Roman Catholic president. And then he glanced at the audience, and then very tongue-in-cheek and very seductively said, or maybe he was our first. And right then and there, Anthony Hilder takes that and puts it right to the assassination in Dallas where the shot rings out and Kennedy's hit, and it has a tremendous effect because the high-level papists subject to the Archbishop of New York in this country do not regard Kennedy as a Catholic. He was a heretic. He was an infidel. He refused to uphold the Pope's temple power, whereas George Bush upholds his temple power in all things. So I highly recommend Anthony Hilder's CD, Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection.
And Eric, interesting you mentioned all that, because I just got my battle cry, which is the publication of Chick Publications, and their lead article on this May-June 2008 is Bush White House First Catholic Presidency, with a question mark after it. And it's interesting, he was interviewed, our current president, by, I think it's EWTN or whatever that Roman Catholic station is on cable, and they asked the current president what he saw when he looked into the eyes of Pope Benedict. President Bush responded with a one-word answer, and he said he saw God. in the eyes. And, of course, we know that G that he, or God that he saw must have been a G with a small g, because it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he saw in the eyes of that pope. And if they'd asked any of the reformers what they saw when they looked in the eyes of the pope, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody that's a Roman Catholic listening, but they would have all replied the Antichrist. And if you'll study the book of Revelation, you'll find out that even some, and this is also according to some Roman Catholic scholars who have studied the book of Revelation, some Catholics call it Apocalypse, but when they studied that, they said themselves that who else is being described, I think it's like in chapter 13 and 18 of Revelation, but what could it be but the papacy? You know, sits on seven hills. It's not Jerusalem, by the way. Ruled over all the kings of the world. Drunk with the blood of the saints. They murdered up to 50 million Bible-believing Christians just during the official time of the Inquisition from 1203 to 1808. Colors are purple and scarlet. I mean, you know, it's not Rio de Janeiro, and it's not Jerusalem. It's very clearly Papal Rome that is identified in the pages of the Holy Bible as the Antichrist. And I would beg all my listeners, non-Roman Catholics and Roman Catholics, if you call yourself a Christian, read the whole Bible, and especially sit down and just read the book of Revelation. You may not understand all of it, but it's pretty clear in there, Eric, who they're naming as the Antichrist. Here's a little introduction I've got to a couple articles I'm writing about history. It's not very long, but I just wanted to read this. And I say my favorite subject in both high school and college was history, especially American history. After I retired from military service, I began to read history books outside of mainstream publishing. I quickly discovered, to my shock I might add, that a lot of important information had been omitted from our history textbooks, I would also add, Eric, from our encyclopedias. Something very sinister happened in America in the 20th century, especially in the early to mid-1900s. Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome, who hates religious liberty, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, popular representative government, separation of church and state, and our American Constitutional Republic, took over. And by the way, I could give quote after quote after quote by popes, archbishops, and cardinals showing that they outright hate the American Constitutional Republic, took over mainstream media, the major publishing companies, and our public education system. Papal Rome did this through wealthy and influential individuals who placed their well-paid lackeys in key positions in government, in the media, and in education and academia. And Burke McCarty, the author of one of the books I'm going to recommend, who wrote the Suppressed Truth about the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, said that you found that a lot of these history textbook committees either had a priest or the priest's own personal representative sitting on there, and any textbook that had anything negative to Papal Rome in it, that textbook was not chosen, or it was given a choice if it was a company to edit that material negative to Papal Rome out before that textbook would be allowed in our public schools. The committees that select textbooks for student use were primary targets for infiltration and takeover. Once this takeover was complete, America was given a very carefully edited and a sanitized version of history. These lackeys of Papal Rome left intact the names of generals, senators, presidents, etc. They also left intact dates of important battles. They did, however, do something that was very repugnant. They omitted many key facts, especially regarding the reasons and motives for wars, assassinations, etc., and I might add, the secret societies that were operating in the behind the scenes, pulling the strings on a lot of these people. And that's something you brought out well in your book, Vatican Assassins, Eric, was a lot of high-level Freemasons on both sides of the Civil War. Something else they also admitted was, I mentioned there, those powerful forces that often rule nations from behind the scenes, and of course that's secret societies. They certainly omitted the references to the tremendous power and influence of secret societies on the course of history, and they erased, as much as possible, as already mentioned, wherever possible, any historical guilt and sin on the part of Papal Rome, and especially the Roman Catholic Jesuit order during America's history. These lackeys of Papal Rome have stolen historical truth from numerous generations of Americans. This is one of the main reasons why I write, and I believe Eric also does, newsletters and articles, to try to get small pieces of historical truth out to a few more Americans who have been cheated by these, what I call, Eric, robbers of history. And having said that, I think that's important for people to realize is that they have stolen history from many generations of Americans. You wanted to say something, Eric?
Yes, I've always said that the first and foremost subject that we should be captivated to is the study of the Bible. The Bible is like the center of a wheel. It's the fulcrum. And all the spokes that lead away from that are the various different topics. That we study those topics in light of the Bible. That's what caused our historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant civilization to advance. It was Bible-based. Therefore, we discovered electricity. Therefore, we discovered how to use light, etc., etc., etc. The other important, I say most important subject, second to the Bible, is history. And these are the two subjects that are utterly forbidden in the public schools, all the way from grammar school to any graduate work you're doing. You cannot study the Bible, and you cannot study true history.
I say a big amen to that. And there's an article, I just want to let them know, they can do a Google search on the Internet, and it's called A Catholic Wind in the White House, A Catholic Wind in the White House, and it's written by David Burke. His name is B-U-R-K-E. And it's April 13th, 2008. So A Catholic Wind in the White House, if you type that into a Google search, you can probably get that. And a very good article about how Roman Catholic President Bush is with all of his speechwriters and that. Let's do a couple quotes here. Eric, if you don't mind. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me add one more thing, brother. Remember, George Bush, the president here, is Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones is beholden to Rome. He's also a high-level Freemason in that he's displayed at the Masonic Museum in Los Angeles. Chris Pinto covered that in one of his documentaries, which I recommend that the listeners get all of his documentaries. They're very good. Chris Pinto.
And they can also... go ahead.
With Agilum Films. Did you have something you wanted to add to that one, brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say, they can go up to spirituallysmart.com, spirituallysmart.com, and they can... on the left side of his homepage, there's an article. It's called New. It's Blue Mass. And you can see pictures of George Bush shaking hands with various Knights of Columbus. And it has a nice article about the Knights of Columbus and a lot of pictures of very high-ranking police officers that are Knights of Columbus. So they might want to take a look at that. I'd like to go ahead.
And one more thing. George Bush's father, George Herbert Walker Bush, is a high-level 33rd degree Freemason. He's also a Knight of Malta. His brother, Prescott Bush Jr., is a notorious Knight of Malta. His grandfather, Prescott Bush Sr., was another papal Knight of Malta, working with Knight of Malta Fritz Thiessen of Germany and a few other papal knights. And George Herbert Walker, Prescott Bush Sr.'s father-in-law, was George Herbert Walker. And George Herbert Walker was trained by Jesuits at Stonyhurst in England. So the whole Bush dynasty is Knight of Columbus with Jeb Bush,
yep.
Knights of Malta, Bonesmen, Freemasons, and Jesuits. So in that family alone, we see the unity of all the most powerful secret societies, which further proves our point that all these secret societies work together subject to the Jesuit order.
I 100% agree there. Here's a couple quotes by different people about the Lincoln assassination. Most of them are pretty short. Here's what U.S. Army Brigadier General Thomas M. Harris, who wrote the book, Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, published in 1897, had to say. By the way, he sat on the 12-man military commission that tried 8 of the conspirators and hung 4 of them. Here's what Brigadier General Thomas M. Harris had to say. It would seem that the Jesuits had had it in mind from the beginning of the war, talking about the American Civil War that started in 1861, to find an occasion for the taking off, which is a nice way of saying the assassination, of Mr. Lincoln. These facts, he's talking about, that were developed on the trial of the conspirators before a military commission and on the trial of John H. Surratt, 2 years later in 1867 before a civil court, show conclusively the hand of papal Rome, I added the word papal, in this stab at our nation's life. And of course that was the stab that on April 14, 1865 when Lincoln was shot and they tried to decapitate the leadership of the United States of America, where they not only went after Lincoln, but they also had a guy assigned to kill Vice President Andrew Johnson. He chickened out. They had a man that came very close to killing Secretary of State Seward, ripped him apart with a very large knife, but he somehow miraculously survived. And they were also going to take out Ulysses S. Grant, but because his daughter was sick, he had a late change in plans. And that's the only thing that saved those other three individuals from being murdered along with Lincoln. Here's what Charles Chenecky said about the Lincoln assassination in his book 50 Years in the Church of Rome. And these are some of the books I'm going to be recommending after the break. But if anyone has still any doubts about the complicity of the Jesuits in the murder of Abraham Lincoln, let him look at the very elaborate plan of escape prepared by the priests of Rome to save the lives of the assassins and the conspirators. And I'm looking for another short quote here by C.T. Wilcox, if I can find it fast. Here's Burke McCarty's, and she's got a... let me give the Wilcox one first because it's shorter, and I think we're probably coming up on a break pretty soon. Here's what C.T. Wilcox, who wrote the book The Transformation of the Republic, again, all about the Lincoln assassination, had to say about the Lincoln assassination. The Jesuits killed Lincoln and buried the evidence. There is not in the large collection of official condolences received by the U.S. government upon the death of Abraham Lincoln, coming from every civilized country in the world, one word from the Pope of Rome.
Right. That's right. Nothing from the Pope.
Did that surprise you that Pope Pius IX didn't? Well, of course not. He was in on the murder. And this, sure, in view of the fact that the Pope, now this is Pope Pius IX, was king. He's a king at the time. He's a foreign potentate. He was king of the papal states and had more subjects, Roman Catholic subjects, in the United States than any other ruler in Europe. Pius IX, of course, Pope Pius IX, by his silence at this time, made a confession of his guilt in letters of fire, unquenchable fire, which brands him and his Jesuits with the brand of Cain in the hearts and minds of the American people, when they shall have been given a full knowledge of their, he's talking about the Jesuits, responsibility in the conspiracy of destruction of this popular government on that Good Friday night in Ford's Theater, April 14th, 1865, and that's, of course, where John Wilkes Booth mortally shot and mortally wounded Abraham Lincoln. Here's what Burke McCarty says in her book, The Suppressed Truth.
Darrell, let me add one thing. We got about 7 minutes here before the break. I'll add a quote of Pius IX that will further shock the listener. Here is what he said of himself, quote, "I am sovereign. I claim to be the supreme judge on earth and the director of the consciences of men, of the peasant that tills the field and the prince that sits on the throne, of the household that lives in the shade of privacy and the legislature that makes laws for kingdoms. I am the sole, last, supreme judge of what is right and wrong," unquote. Pius IX, 1870.
Same pope, by the way, for our listeners, that, as we mentioned in the previous broadcast, that came out and warmly supported Confederate States of America president, the South's president, Jefferson Davis, with a letter, I believe it was December of 1863, that called, which, after it was printed in several papers in the North, caused massive desertions of especially the Roman Catholic Irish mercenary troops. I believe there were almost up to 200,000 of them that were brought over to fight on the Union side, as well as thousands of German troops. Here's what Burke McCarty has to say. And this precious lady spent 7 years, Eric, sitting in various libraries, finding, going over every piece of newspaper she could find about from that era. And her book was published in 1924 called The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Here's what she says. "The methods used in Abraham Lincoln's assassination will stand preeminent in point of malice and cruelty, and, strange as it may seem, the same diabolical cunning which nerved the hand of the assassin," she's talking about Booth, John Wilkes Booth, has pursued Lincoln beyond the grave and has been largely successful in hiding from the public all the details of his physical destruction. A crime in the eyes of this writer which almost outstrips the first. For by this conspiracy of silence on his death, talking about Lincoln, the youth of America are being deprived of the knowledge of the details of the greatest tragedy in their country's history. The death, or murder, I would say, of Abraham Lincoln was instigated by the Black Pope, and the Superior General of the Jesuit Order. It was camouflaged by the White Pope, Pius IX, aided, abetted, and financed by other divine writers of Europe, and finally consummated by the Roman Catholic hierarchy and their paid agents in this country and French Canada on Good Friday night, April 14, 1865, at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. In closing, I, and this is Burke McCarty, will leave it to my reader to decide whether I have proven my contention in the beginning of this book that the assassination of Lincoln and four other presidents is but a part of a great conspiracy which was outlined in the secret treaty of Verona, I would add, in Italy in 1822, to destroy this, the most formidable republic, and that I have proven that the execution of this conspiracy in Lincoln's case was delegated by the Pope of Rome to the Jesuits, aided and abetted by Roman Catholic priests of Canada and Washington, D.C. in the United States, and by their lay agents, the Leopoldines. Two, that instead of the use of bullets and bayonets, their method has been, and it still is, to destroy from within by the subversion of all the free institutions upon which this republic is based. Three, that the Church of Rome has established a separate citizenship to promote its teachings, and by its enormous wealth, a large proportion of which has been obtained by unconstitutional and illegal appropriations from public funds, that with this wealth, and she gives you the amount, it has by a system of intimidation and bribery corrupted our free press and is in control of every avenue of publicity so that the American people remain in almost total ignorance of its pernicious activities, which, if not curtailed, will succeed in accomplishing its object in these United States. And as you well know, Eric, from the Congress of Vienna in 1814-15 to the following meetings in Verona in Italy in 1822 by these divine writer European despotic monarchs that were urged on by the papacy and the Jesuits, and then those plans for destroying the American Constitutional Republic were fine-tuned by high-level Jesuits in 1825 and in other secret meetings in Sherry, Italy. And our American Civil War, the assassination of Lincoln, are just manifestations of these evil plans that were laid by these despotic Roman Catholic rulers, most of them, in Europe, and the Papal Rome that resulted in all that bloodshed of the American Civil War. It's something that the American people need to be made aware of, and we need to get these secret societies out of this country. High-level Freemasons, high-level the Knights of Malta, high-level Knights of Columbus, they all have oaths to other higher powers, and basically they all go back right up to, they ended with the Black Pope, the Jesuit Superior General. Those oaths supersede any oath they take to the U.S. Constitution, and you brought that out wonderfully in your book, Vatican Assassins.
Yes, these secret societies are terrible. They're subject to the Jesuit General. Their first allegiance is to a foreign monarch, not to our written Constitution, and thereby they overthrow true nationalism. Well, this is Brother Eric John Phelps with Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy with my brother and dear friend and resident expert, of which I am sitting at his feet learning today, Gerald Eberhardt. We will be back in a few minutes. Brother Eric John Phelps with Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy, back again with Brother Dale Eberhardt, and our review of the Lincoln assassination and the maxims, the canon law of the papacy, which when we understand those maxims, we can now realize why the Jesuits would carry out an assassination against a heretic and liberal president who would desire to truly resist them. Brother Darrell.
By the way, Eric, since you brought that up, and this is a little bit humorous on my part, but I want to add it, and that is that, and you well know this, Lincoln was never a Roman Catholic, but a lot of the papers in the north that were controlled by Roman Catholics started to publish the story, and this was years before they killed him, that Lincoln had been secretly baptized by a Roman Catholic priest, and he was really a Roman Catholic, and thus, you know, that opens the doors then to any Roman Catholic to get absolution and that from his priest, because he's just killing a heretic. He's just fulfilling what his church would want him to do, since Lincoln would then be considered an apostate from the church who had turned on the church. I want to let everyone know, Eric, though I mentioned that my dad was Roman Catholic, to the best of my knowledge, and my mom was Methodist, and we were raised, my brother and I, in a Methodist church, is no priest, as Lincoln said, ever laid a hand on me. So I want everyone to know that I was never a Roman Catholic, despite having most of my relatives being Roman Catholic. So I just want to throw that out. Also, Eric, they mentioned about listener-supported, and I just want to, time flies by so quickly, and I want to let them know about your CD-ROMs and also about those three books, because sometimes the time just flies by and you don't get it out. Let me tell them also my website, toughissues.org, and issues is plural, I-S-S-U-E-S, toughissues.org. If they go up there, please read Bloody Hands and Wicked Hearts and Death by Government and Death by Church, and whether you're Roman Catholic or non-Roman Catholic, you're going to see that the history of Papal Rome is one of blood, not just the 50 million that they murdered Bible-believing Christians from 1203 to 1808 from the official time frame of the Inquisition. But as you well know, Eric, they've slaughtered Orthodox Christians to the tune of a million of them during the 1940s. So, and Jews, of course, where they often practiced up for the Crusades by going into Western French provinces and you know, practiced trampling Jews under their horses' feet and putting them into churches and bolting the locking the doors and setting the churches, or synagogues on fire, I should say.
Yep.
The same thing happened, by the way, during the American Revolutionary War. They seemed to like in Protestant New England, the parts that were Protestant, to burn down a lot of churches. So anyway, I would recommend you get Eric's, let me tell him your website, because you've got a ton of good articles up there, and it's VaticanAssassins.org. Vatican Assassins, plural, VaticanAssassins.org. Go up there, and Eric's got a ton of good articles about Papal Rome and especially about the Jesuit order. But he has two CD-ROMs that he offers. Now, $45 post each paid. That includes shipping and handling. And if you want to do some real heavy, in-depth reading and research, his Vatican Assassins electronic book is on CD-ROM and PDF format. 1,836 pages that include 760 pictures and portraits from 400 sources, and he did that in 2007. Again, $45. It's the definitive expose, as far as I'm concerned, on the Jesuit order. But he not only gives you that for the $45, but he also throws in free with it an additional CD-ROM and PDF format with 13 rare books, and I love those old books. They're worth almost looking at just to read the titles and the subtitles. They're about 14 sentences long sometimes, but Eric used those books to expose Papal Rome and the Jesuit order when he first wrote Vatican Assassins, and I really recommend that you get those. And to get them, you're going to have to make a check or money order payable to, I'm going to spell it out for you, L as in lima bean, O as in Oscar, W as in whiskey, V as in Victor, E as in Echo, H as in hotel, M as in Mike. So L, O, W, V as in Victor, E, H, M as in Mike, Incorporated. And mail it to the same Incorporated thing there. Post Office Box 326, Newmanstown, N-E-W-M-A-N-S, Town, Pennsylvania, PA, 17073. And again, the address, Box 326, Newman's Town, Pennsylvania, 17073. And if, like I said, if you want to do some real in-depth research on the Jesuit order, their history of assassinations, the subversion of governments, being thrown out of many nations, Eric gives you the behind-the-scenes activities and that, and not to mention all of those excellent illustrations and pictures from many old books that if you went to 1,000 libraries, you probably couldn't find them. So I really highly recommend that. Now, there's a book and I recommended this on the last one, but it's well worth recommending again. It's two books in one volume, and it's the first one is Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by the general I mentioned, Brigadier General Thomas M. Harris, published in 1897. The others, The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Burke McCarty. It was published in 1924. Both of those books are available for $14 postage paid. It's the only one you're going to have to do a little writing on of the three books that I'm recommending, the paperback books. It's $14 postage paid, shipping and handling included, 270 pages of paperback book, two books in one volume, Ozark Books, and make your check or money order payable to Ozark, O-Z-A-R-K, Ozark Books, Box 3703, Springfield, Missouri, M-O, 65808. Again, Ozark Books, box number 3703, Springfield, Missouri, M-O, 65808. Again, two books that will give you the nitty-gritty on the behind-the-scenes activities with the Lincoln assassination and also with the trials that went on afterward. The next book is real easy to give to you because all I'm going to give you is the phone number. And I think you admire this guy as much as I do, Eric, Charles Chinnicky, ex-Roman Catholic priest. But he recorded all of his conversations with Lincoln. He visited him in the White House to try to warn him about Jesuit plots. But the book is called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. 50 Years in the Church of Rome. It's published by Chick Publications, a very large book. And it's... the phone number, it's $17.94 postage paid, and you can use your credit card. 909-987-0771. Again, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. The phone number, 909-987-0771. And Charles Chinnicky has to be one of the godliest men I've ever read about. By the way, when he would go and give talks in different areas, the local Catholic priests would stir up mobs. The poor guy got stoned a couple times. At one time, his heavy winter coat saved him. Couple times, people rushed in to save him, Eric. Quite a man. And when you read books like this, Eric, I think you get the same feeling I do. You can tell when someone's telling the truth. And the last book is, I'll just give you a website. The guy dropped his price on it by $10. It's a little expensive, but it's a 345-page paperback, nice glossy cover. It's called The Transformation of the Republic by a friend of mine up in Canada, C.T. Wilcox. But all they need to do is go to his website, and it's $29.99, plus you have to pay some shipping and handling. But C as in Charlie, T as in Tango, C.T. Wilcox, WILCOX.com. So C.T. Wilcox.com, to get his 345-page paperback. And he named his kind of like the old books, like Samuel Morse and that. He's got a long... The name of the book is The Transformation of the Republic for the main title, but I like this subtitle, Eric. The Origins of the Religious Hijacking of the American Government and the Truth Behind the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. He gets quite a bit into the trials and that of John Harrison Surratt, who was one of the arch-conspirators. Did you have anything you wanted to say there, Eric?
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And,
well, then we'll get in. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into the what I had to say about the Lincoln assassination, and then if we have time, we'll cover some of the guys involved. First, let me tell them about the Knights of the Golden Circle, since almost every single conspirator, and there were at least 10 low to mid level conspirators that were Knights of the Golden Circle. And I just, by the way, Eric, I just saw the National Treasure movie on DVD a couple nights ago with friends, and what's the first scene they open up with is John Wilkes Booth is there, and this relative of theirs is deciphering a code for them, and this guy that is asking him to do it, there's a medal on his chest, and it says KGC, Knights of the Golden Circle. But the Knights of the Golden Circle was a secret society that helped foment the bloody American Civil War that took the lives of up to 620,000 American soldiers, that's combined dead from wounds and disease from both sides, and up to 50,000 civilians. The Jesuit order set up and controlled the Knights of the Golden Circle. In other words, the Knights of the Golden Circle, just like the modern Illuminati, was simply a Jesuit front group. John Wilkes Booth, the man who mortally wounded Abraham Lincoln on April 14, 1865, was a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle, by the way, which Wilcox says he joined in Baltimore, or Bert McCarty, I'm sorry, said that he joined it in Baltimore. The oath that John Wilkes Booth took upon admission into the Knights of the Golden Circle resembles quite closely some of the oaths taken by Jesuits and Freemasons, and as you know, I read that on the last one. And one of the things that the Knights of the Golden Circle, remember, this is supposed to be like a Masonic group that's set up. One of the parts of their oath is that they swear by the dolors of the Immaculate Mother. Now, the dolors means the sufferings, and as we mentioned before, Eric, what kind of Protestants would write an oath like that? That's definitely... The Jesuits, by the way, are one of the biggest promoters of the Marian apparitions, etc., and watch out for Marian apparitions. I would warn everybody, my best friend and his wife had given me a book that was like a telephone book size about all these apparitions by Mary that had been... This was written by Roman Catholics. And when I went through that, Eric, I'd say about 90% of those apparitional messages were totally 100% contradictory of what is found in the Holy Bible. And they may well use that as a means of deception here in the end times. Here's what I had to say about the Lincoln assassination, as I'm thumbing down here through. Right here. President Abraham Lincoln was shot and mortally wounded by a Jesuit-controlled Knight of Golden Circle, John Wilkes Booth, on April 14, 1865. By the way, he died the next morning. At least nine other low- to mid-level conspirators were involved with Booth on this attempt at decapitating the leadership of the U.S. government. Now, what's important for everyone to know is, despite what the Knights of Columbus say, most of the conspirators were Roman Catholics, and several of them had been Jesuit-trained. Many of them, by the way, that included John Harrison Surratt, the arch-conspirator at the low- and mid-level level. Many of them made their plans to assassinate Lincoln in the home of a devout Roman Catholic she had converted from her early Protestantism, named Mary E. Surratt, a home that was frequented by Roman Catholic priests from the Washington, D.C. area. There's quite a bit of evidence to show that Papal Rome and the Jesuit order planned and orchestrated this attempt to decapitate the leadership of the U.S. I already mentioned this, but other targets of the conspirators were Vice President Andrew Johnson, Secretary of State William H. Seward, and Union Army General Ulysses S. Grant. And as I mentioned, Johnson was spared when the conspirator assigned to assassinate him became scared and rode off to one of the homes of his relatives. The reasons why Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, as best as I can determine, are: one, Lincoln had prevented the Union from being split into two separate nations, which greatly angered the Jesuit order and the papacy, who had fomented the American Civil War for that very purpose. And as we mentioned on the last one when we talked about the Civil War, Tsar Alexander II of Russia threw a big monkey wrench in that because the British and the French were getting ready to intervene militarily on the side of the South to split the nation into two. When Tsar Alexander II of Russia saw what was going on, sent part of his fleet to both off of, I think it was off San Francisco and off of New York, and put them under the direct command of Abraham Lincoln. Basically, I believe that's what saved the Union, because British and French, and some people even say the Spanish, were going to come in militarily on the side of the South. Number two, Lincoln had refused to accept loans at extremely high interest rates from Jesuit-controlled European bankers in order to finance the North's war effort, again greatly angering the Jesuit order. And we all know, Eric, that the Knights of Malta run a lot of the banking. Number three, Lincoln wanted to bring the southern states back into the Union under kind and generous terms, again angering the Jesuit-controlled part of the U.S. Congress that wanted to severely chastise the predominantly Protestant South. Eric brought that out well in his first book, Vatican Assassins, the paperback version. And Lincoln most likely would not have supported the Jesuit-controlled radical Republicans' 14th Amendment. Number four, and I can give you there's a bunch of reasons why they killed Lincoln, just like Kennedy. Number four, Lincoln had threatened the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church in the USA, and he outright threatened them, especially he calls him Bishop, but he was later was Archbishop John Hughes of New York, who stirred up the New York draft riots of July 1863. Lincoln had threatened to reveal.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Do you know what the nickname for Archbishop Hughes was?
What was it?
Dagger John.
That's
Dagger
interesting.
John.
I have a great quote from him somewhere, but I won't be able to track it down. But he was very opposed to liberty. But Lincoln had threatened to reveal the U.S. Roman Catholic hierarchy's involvement in those riots. By the way, when Lincoln threatened Hughes went out, talked to the crowd, which were mostly Roman Catholic Irish immigrants, that were, by the way, they were lynching blacks. They burnt down a little orphanage for the black people. And he went out and said, "Oh, my dear brothers and children, you know, go home, be peaceful." And they went home and were peaceful right after that. So that shows, as Lincoln said, as Jupiter, you know, could raise up a storm and with a nod and end it. That's exactly what happened. Number five, Lincoln wanted to keep the U.S. free from foreign influence, especially the influence of the Jesuits and papacy. Number six, Lincoln was keenly aware of Jesuit and papal plans made in the early part of the 19th century. We already mentioned those three meetings, Vienna, Verona, and Cherry, for the destruction of the American Republic. Number eight, Lincoln knew very well of the various Jesuit and papal plots to assassinate him. By the way, they wanted to nail him in Baltimore right after he got elected president, and they had already selected a Roman Catholic Italian barber. Was it King Henry III or IV that was assassinated when his carriage slowed down? And that's what they wanted to do to Lincoln. They were going to have this barber leap on him with a dagger and kill him. Next to poisoning, that's probably one of the favorite Jesuit ways of killing people. Number nine, Lincoln had become a genuine Bible-believing Christian after the Battle of Gettysburg, and the Jesuits in Papal Rome generally cannot corrupt and or control such Christian leaders, and they knew that. And they saw Lincoln and Russian Tsar Alexander as an impediment to papal plans in any lands, and that's why they killed Tsar Alexander I, Tsar Alexander II, Lincoln. And a lot of people don't know, I think it was Tsar Alexander I wanted to have Bible societies come into Russia and everything, and he was a real Christian. He became a real Christian, and he had thrown the Jesuits out of the country. So, yeah, when you go back, Eric, and you brought this out so well in your book, is you can find that the Jesuits had the motive for killing, like, King Henry III of France, King Henry IV of France, Tsar Alexander I of Russia, Tsar Alexander II of Russia, President Benito Pablo Juarez of Mexico, because you'll find out almost all of these people opposed the Jesuits, and most of them had thrown the Jesuits out or broken the power of the Roman Catholic Church in their countries as they tried to establish freedom and popular representative government. Number 10 reason that I have for why they killed him is that the Jesuits and the rest of Papal Rome had never forgiven a young lawyer named Abraham Lincoln who had successfully defended a Roman Catholic priest by the name of Charles Chiniki, who they had falsely accused of sexually assaulting the priest's sister, who named LaBelle. The priest had promised his sister, I think, a couple 40-acre tracts of land if she would bear false witness against Charles Chiniki. And as Chiniki, when he was freed from that burden, and LaBelle and the other Catholic that was involved in a priest that were involved in trying to frame him up fled from the town, and so the case was dismissed, and Chiniki he later cried in front of Lincoln, and Lincoln said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "You should have seen the faces of the Jesuits that were sitting in the near the jury when they were watching, and they just looked at you with such hatred." And he said, "They never forget." And Eric, I think you probably have brought that out more in your book than anyone has. When they get a grudge against you, you know, it's going to take a real miracle for you to survive. So clearly the evidence, they had at least 10 reasons to kill them. They had the motive, they had the means, and through their control of secret societies on both sides, Eric, during the war, when their plan A didn't come into fruition, which was to break the Union into two hostile camps, and probably they would have tried to foment Civil War II, Civil War III, just like a sequence of I'm trying to think, Harrison Ford movies there. they would have had sequence 1, 2, and 3, no doubt. And it was a miracle that Tsar Alexander II of Russia came to the aid of the Union. And when that happened, the Jesuits then decided, as we brought out in the previous program, that they were just going to bleed both sides as much as they could. And then through that horrible 14th Amendment, they were going to centralize power. And this you also brought out in your book. Those one of the guys was a congressman. Was it Thaddeus Stevens?
That's right.
From Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that's right. And he has his nephew buried next to him. He's got a big mausoleum there. I used to go look at it every year in sorrow on July 28th, which was a day of mourning for me and still is. And that's when that damnable Thaddeus Stevens was the agent by which the Jesuits used to ram that 14th Amendment through the House. And Thaddeus Stevens had a Roman Catholic concubine, Miss Smith, a mulatto concubine who was buried in St. Mary's Cathedral, in St. Mary's Cemetery in Lancaster City.
And then the other one was Charles Sumner, the senator. And again, as you brought out, these people, they were perfect agents for Papal Rome. And through their control of key people placed in key government positions, they were able to shove the 14th Amendment. There was so much duplicity and deceit and trickery involved. When the southern states refused to ratify it, they just threw them out of the Union they had just readmitted them back into, and the
price
for readmission back into the Union was to ratify. And then there were a couple northern states that, I think New Jersey might have been one of them, but there were two northern states that later rescinded.
And Ohio.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they rescinded their previous, and they had a better look at it, ratification. And of course they just ignored all of that, Eric, and pretended like it legitimately passed when it didn't, and that's what basically states' rights, as they said, died at Appomattox Courthouse. And as you brought out on the last one, and I also mentioned, Lincoln may have done some tyrannical things, but he was caught between a rock and a hard place. He knew the Jesuits and Papal Rome were involved in fomenting the American Civil War. He knew they wanted to centralize power afterwards. He knew that. He was going to oppose it. He was going to bring the South back under kind and generous terms in Reconstruction. And because of that, there was no way, Jose, that the Jesuit order and Papal Rome were going to let Abraham Lincoln survive. And that's why he had to go, and they murdered probably one of the godliest presidents. And even before Lincoln was saved, most men, you can go back, I've read a lot of secular authors that have written about Abraham Lincoln, and Charles Chinnicky said that when he sat down with Lincoln the first time as a young lawyer, he said you just had to love the man. He was so honest and genuine. And those are the type of people that Rome cannot corrupt, cannot work with. And then once Lincoln became a genuine Bible-believing Christian after the Battle of Gettysburg, as he walked that battlefield, there was no way that the Jesuits would ever be able to work with him. And Lincoln had to be murdered, and they did it. And as Chuck Wilcox says in his book, the Jesuits murdered Lincoln, and then they buried the evidence.
F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, also did a good job with exposing the Jesuit hand in the murder of Lincoln. The listener may wish to get that, too. The Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. He added some very good details to this topic.
And he also, very well in his book, Eric, shows the tremendous power that the Roman Catholic Church had during the Reagan administration, how almost every top committee in both the Senate and the House were led by Roman Catholics. And that same thing has happened today in this country. Eric, I'm
well,
so glad you had me on.
Pleasure to have you on, Daryl, and I will have you back next week if you wish.
Okay, Eric. God bless you.
Okay. God bless. For Eric John Phelps for Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy, thank you for tuning in. I trust it was edifying for you today. And may the Lord bless you as you seek to do His will according to His Word, AB 1611. Maranatha.